I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us.
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Coming up today on the Football Ramble.
How often do you get to feel smug while dressed as a banana?
You celebrate.
That might be the only time in history.
Would you rather Mourinho went to Barcelona or Arteta?
Unrelated. Has anyone had a big one out in Belfast?
Remember when we had them on the run, everybody? Welcome to the Football Ramble. Maidstone march into the fifth round of the FA Cup, but Newport County are out. It's Monday, 29th of Jan. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Tim Campbell.
Everybody, it's Monday. We've still got the afterglow of that FA Cup fourth round. My goodness. My giddy aunt.
It was a brilliant weekend of football, and I'm not surprised, and I don't think Jim will be either, to hear that your aunt was truly giddy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still flushed with excitement. She must be.
Yeah.
She must be sleeping off a very, very giddy weekend.
Indeed, yeah. And I say this, and my
team went out. She a pisshead
or not? Yeah, pardon?
She a pisshead?
Not now.
No, okay, right.
I don't think ever, to be honest.
No, fair enough. It's good to know.
No, the giddiness is just to do to excitment, as you say, Jim, with regards to life. I don't think it's to do
with alcohol fueled.
With alcohol or any other kind of thing that could do that to you.
Yeah.
Too much sugar, for example.
No, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yes, so it was a great week. And I say this, as I say, despite my team going out the cup, because sometimes you've got to look at the bigger picture here.
Yeah. Finally, the penny's dropped.
And
Marcus is looking at the big picture.
Yeah. So we're going to start with England.
Yeah. Nice.
Harry Kane scored, didn't he? No. Stop it.
Yeah.
Highlights of the weekend. I mean, we should all have the same highlight, really.
Yeah.
But let's have a supplementary highlight as well to the bleeding obvious. Luke Moore.
Well, mine is Maidstone related.
Fine.
And that is the video footage of them in the clubhouse at the Gallagher Stadium, which I've been. I could recognise it straight away. I've been there a bunch of times, and it's them being really disappointed about the draw they got, specifically because at one point in that draw at half time in the Liverpool Norwich game, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
there were four teams left and two of them were Maidstone and Man City.
Yeah.
And they got one of the stinkers. With actually no respect to Coventry City or Sheffield Wednesday, that is a bad draw for Maidstone.
Yeah.
It's another type of draw they've just navigated and they were all really deflated, really disappointed, Georgia Lacobi included.
Okay. We'll talk about that
just funny to see their reaction, because what people were expecting, the reason it was being filmed was for one of those summer 2018 pints going up in the air, we've got Man City thing. Yeah. And that never really happened. It was a bit like when those posh girls always open their A-level results live on telly and one of them's failed.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's not a failure, but it's...
She'll still be absolutely fine.
She'll be fine.
She'll have
Jake Humphrey told me.
Yeah.
Yeah, she could be one of Jake's minions.
Yeah.
Jim?
My highlight of the weekend was that the other potential banana skin that turned out to not be a banana skin at the weekend, of course, Newport County against Man United. I know some fans go to these sort of games in fancy dress just because it's already a quite big mad occasion. Why not just go nuts? I was not expecting to see a man dressed as Vivian from The Young Ones in the home end at Newport County. It's the thought process for me.
So was it Vivian?
He had studs in his forehead.
Yeah, true. I thought maybe it was John Lloyd. No, okay, Johnny Rotten.
No, it was definitely Vivian.
But then
Vivian.
As you say that, I thought of course it was
maybe
Adrian
still
Edmondson's
dresses.
Character.
Yeah, maybe he just looks exactly like...
It's the last 40 years of comedy not happened.
I know, right?
Newport.
It's such an interesting choice.
It is a classic.
It is a classic, but why? Yeah. And also, indeed, why not?
It's the only young one you can go as where people would know you were going as a character.
Yeah, I think
because you
so.
Might if you're Neil, you just just got long hair and you're a bit of a hippie.
Yeah. Like, Rick's quite Rick, hard to
scruffy,
pull off.
Scruffy, and Mike's just a normal bloke. Yeah. So this is a great conversation for the younger listeners among us. This,
well, I mean, it is the young ones we're talking about.
Exactly, yeah. They should be grateful.
Very grateful indeed. Know your history. My highlight of the weekend, obviously, was Mason. But on top of that, I'm going to say Lionel Mpassi. The Democratic Republic of Congo goalkeeper slotting home the winning penalty, which we will talk about later. That little, what looked like a little grin on his face, as if to say,
I got this.
Yeah. I'm the one who gets us to put us through to the quarterfinal.
He was doing a Michelle McManus. This is my moment. Absolute Michelle from Pop Idol stuff. This is my moment.
I never thought she'd get a mention.
She's welcome here. Everyone is.
She's very
welcome.
It's a
broad church.
Yeah, it's a big mention, no doubt about that.
Do we even need the Premier League? Look at all the highlights we've just had. Not even near the thing.
Well, Jim, we're going to start with...
Sheffield United are saying.
Yeah, we're going to start with Ipswich Town 1, Manchester United 2. Unbelievable stuff. Neither are Premier League sides. Ipswich may be next season, but then we'll be bored of them. This is what we want. Maidstone, to put this into context, as those who know and those who don't know, they become the first club outside the top five tiers to reach the fifth round of the FA Cup since Blythe Spartans did in 1978, when the Sex Pistols were alive and well. And, well, they were, I think they were still alive.
Yeah.
as in when they were very much unseen. Yeah.
Yeah.
it is stunning stuff, this.
It really,
because
really was.
This is not... When you think about a cup set, you think of a side who may be a league or two, and they're more than that above Maidstone, of course, but they're not doing very well. They may be relegation fodder. Ipswich are on for promotion. Yeah. They're having a great season, as we all know. And I just want to hammer that point home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Maidstone go there and win. It's absolutely glorious. Absolutely.
It was stripy jumpers, wasn't it?
I think that's a touch harsh.
38 shots Ipswich had.
Yeah, but not, they didn't create that much.
Well, let me try and meet you halfway.
I think Mason defended well. I don't think they were lucky.
I think you're going to get battered for that.
By who?
By listeners.
Really?
So I'm going to meet you halfway, and I'm going to help you out.
I don't need your help.
Okay. Marcus has said what he said. He can stay. Jim, what do you think?
I understand what you're saying. I think if you look at...
Do you? Okay, so I'm outnumbered
because
here.
I understand what you're saying, because a lot of those shots, the goalkeeper... a few of them straight at him, you know, a couple of those saves were pretty good, but they weren't sort of like spectacular.
Yeah.
There's one late on where that might have hit the post.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of see what you're saying, but 38 shots to two also tells its own story, doesn't it?
Like,
and this is the sickener about who they're getting in the next round, because you've got to pull that off again.
Yeah.
And that's really, really tough. It's very unlikely that they're going to go and take the game to Sheffield Wednesday or Coventry in a reverse of that sort of performance, you think.
So, when I'm not being mischievous, I do kind of understand what you mean, but I think a lot of that was down to Ipswich's decision making and their kind of approach to the game. Mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't believe how panicked and rushed they were in the first half, mm-hmm. and I was like, I was watching it. I was thinking at halftime, Kieran McKenna has got to tell his team to calm down, because apart from Sarmiento and Hutchinson, they were all very snatchy, very kind of quick. Mm. They kind of the occasion really got to them, and they were making decisions, which meant it allowed Marcus, your points to come to the fore, I think, which is shooting quite early, mm-hmm. wrong passes, trying way too hard, and Maystone needed to ride that luck, and they did do that. The first goal basically just came from nowhere. It's
lovely goal.
I couldn't believe that two players had made that run as an outlet, because that's such a gamble to do that when you're so far under the cosh. And then to take that one touch, I think first touch with his right foot,
perfect.
Second finish with his left foot, gorgeous. Again, amazing. And then you think, okay, this is back to the wall stuff now.
The celebrations, what I loved is the different celebrations between the two goals. The first goal, it was like, I can't believe we've actually scored.
Yeah,
it was
brilliant. Yeah.
And the second one was a big celebration, but there was that of, oh, we've actually got the lead now. This is on. Yeah, I think that's the first goal is like, hey, we're a part of this. Isn't this fantastic? We've been given a good account of ourselves. The second one is brilliant. We're in front and it's, bloody hell, it's on.
Yeah.
And it's just a subtle difference. Don't get me wrong, there were jubilant scenes in both of them.
I think also, I'm not sure if this has been picked up, but I noticed on the second goal that Sam Corn scored, if you watch the replay from behind, it's a slow motion replay, and he actually goes to play the ball in the far corner, but the final second, it touches his standing foot.
It does, yeah.
And then he ends up hitting it, I think, accidentally into the other corner.
Well, that did occur to me
as
well.
keeper goes anywhere near it. So, look, only the goal's a goal, and he scored in the last round as well, and he's obviously a quality player, and he's having a time of his life, and I'm not trying to take that from him. I'm just saying, like, a certain amount of events need to all fall in place at the same time for this kind of thing to happen. And I thought at one point I was thinking Jeremy Sarmiento could beat this team on his own. He just had the run of the pitch. But and I know he scored. He was unlucky not to score another one. He hit the woodwork, didn't he? It was just one of those days for Ipswich. I don't think that Kieran McKenna kind of managed this team very well, which is a kind of brave thing to say, I suppose, because they've been so well coached all season. He is highly rated, one of the best young coaches in the country. I just don't think they approached it very well. And at any point, I think they could have just calmed down, started keeping possession a bit more, knocking it about. I say keep possession more. They had about 80% possession, but they didn't really kind of do anything with it. And so, look, it was one of those Haley's Comet type events. I'm very, very disappointed at who they've got in the next round. They could have had Man City, as I've said. It would have been incredible if they got them, but also horrific. But the thing is, the thing about the potential Man City draw is, and you know me, guys, I'm not trying to make it all about me, but I have actually played at the Gallagher Stadium, and the very idea that Man City come there for a competitive game, it'll be incredible.
Yeah, but they wanted to be away as well,
from
home
that,
against Manchester City. But I mean, if you, I think all things considered, I mean, they are going to play away at Hillsborough, which is a very famous old ground, of course, and Coventry's is a little bit newer. But still, you know, these are grounds of prestige. I understand it's not quite what they wanted. But the interesting thing, though, is if it's Manchester City, there's scenes of celebration because, oh my goodness, it's almost like we've got the payoff and that'll be the end of the road for us. We can just go out and enjoy it, because they can. Let's be honest, they would be beaten heavily by Manchester City if they went there. So just go out, soak up the atmosphere. There's Pep Guardiola stood over there.
Yeah.
You might come face to face with Kevin De Bruyne.
You never guess
who
I've played against.
And all that sort of business. Yeah. Against Sheffield Wednesday or Coventry City, it's, we've got to go again. But it's a different, it's a totally different feeling because they've beaten Ipswich. Yeah.
One thing I would also add to that is that Coventry City are a far better team than Sheffield Wednesday. Sheffield Wednesday are actually a very poor side.
So they want Wednesday because they're more likely to win. And also, Hillsborough is a very famous ground. To say you played there.
I mean, if we can take it back to the sort of the glory, though, let's not undermine what's been achieved here just because they haven't got the glamour tie in the next
round.
It's a historic
win. Beaten easily.
Live on the BBC as well at the weekend, which is a brilliant thing. That's the thing they have forever.
Yeah.
It's still an amazing, amazing thing to celebrate. They gave a great account of themselves, as we saw. We saw the jubilation at full time. Mm. George Ellacobi's brilliant. Lamar Reynolds was brilliant in the interview afterwards as well.
He was.
The pure, pure joy just emanating off of all of them is fantastic.
Who rolled down the Maidstone flag.
Awning.
Thing.
The awning.
Yeah. So he was brilliant.
If anyone missed
that. Is he okay?
Yeah. I've not seen an update on that. There's a fan who essentially just rolls off of the second tier and, like, you see him disappear over the edge. So don't know what happened to him.
Hope he's all right. Yeah. Hope whoever he landed on is all right.
It wasn't
well.
A particularly long drop, by the way, we should say. I mean, of course, he could still have hurt himself, but there's no reports of that. So at the time of recording, it just seemed like a moment of sheer joy and jubilant celebration, and nobody was hurt.
Do you think he sort of overshot that, or do you think he was always planning to roll off the edge? Because there's a point where you could interpret it as either way. It's like, you know what? I'm going to give it one more and it'll look funny. Or he's going, Oh, I'm going again. I wasn't ready for this.
Yeah, we need to get comment from him.
You sound a bit too unlimited then. The official line is disconcertingly vague, which is he's not seriously injured.
Is a dislocated shoulder not a serious
injury?
If someone
calls you up, someone you've loved, been involved in something, but don't worry, they're not seriously injured, you're still panicking.
Yeah.
You're still panicking.
Yeah, what has happened?
What's he done now?
I know. Yeah. I'd like to think that Big George ran over and caught him on his way down, you know.
How Big George look after him? Big George was in great form before the game, wasn't he?
During and after.
Yeah.
He is a class act, that man.
He did a brilliant address of the Maidstone fans outside the ground before the game, talking about how together they are, and it was actually just a really nice thing. I think he comes out of this with a lot of credit. I think I'm pleased that more people know about him and what he's doing than they did beforehand.
He's still a young man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's 37.
And I think the goalkeeper as well, he's got his eye on the prize big time.
I love that they've got a Brazilian goalkeeper.
Yeah, it's great.
Two appearances of Brazil under-20s.
Wow.
Obviously, great. A little while ago, and he's been around the houses, and he's not played sort of top flight, really. But he said post-match, "I'm so happy I could help my teammates. We're in the hat again, and hopefully I can get a move to the Championship." He probably said it sort of half joking, but he was brilliant, the goalkeeper.
Yeah, and had to be.
Yeah, but it was he made some very good saves. I think for a lot of those shots which you touched on earlier, Jim, had he have let them in, that would have been a bit of an error.
But the fact is, you've still got to make them. It's easy for us to say that, isn't it?
Yeah, and Maidstone, I think, are fourth in the league, so they're not going to face 38 shots that often. Do you know what I mean? They're not going to...
It's a busy day at the office.
Yeah, and he's got... The focus is it has to be there. Every ball he caught, every punch he made, he had to do it all. And it was no wonder he was the man of the match. So it was wonderful for him. But, I mean, George Ellacobi said the win will bond his team together for life, and it's true. All these players will always feel connected in some way.
Oh, this is the kind of thing that in 20 years' time, a kind of fixture like this will come up again in the FA Cup, and they'll be showing this kind of stuff as a montage.
That's right. And I love that Ellacobi, when the draw was made, as you said, there was a bit of a disappointment. He stood in the middle of them all, just having a cup of tea or something.
He's also shakes his head quite a lot when he sees they've got.
He does have a little shake of the head. He's thinking, oh, man, I'm going to have to really, really watch loads of videos now. Yeah. Because again, if it's Manchester City, you kind of go, lads, get out there. Yeah. Do your stuff.
Lads, it's us.
It's us. whereas now he's like, yeah, we're really going to have to, I'm going to be up all hours now beforehand because there's a tiny little chance they might go through. And it was nice to see, Jim, you talk about fancy dress. For obvious reasons, there was some people dressed as bananas.
Yeah.
You've got to love that, haven't you?
Especially when you pull it off.
But imagine though, if you're a Maidstone...
How often do you get to feel smug while dressed as a banana?
You celebrate.
That might be the only time in history.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, but what I love though is if you're a Maidstone player and you want to kind of wind up the Ipswich players at 2-1 as the clock's ticking, you go, oi lads, see them lads over there? Ooh, it's happening.
I also love they've got MUFC on their badge.
I like that, but they're in the next round on the Stones.
Yeah.
And Big
George.
Go on the Stones. Wolverhampton Wanderers are in the next round. They beat West Brom at the Hawthorns 2-0.
They beat each other.
Yes, well, Jim, indeed. Yeah. I mean, it was Wolves' first win at the Hawthorns in 1996. Obviously, the big story was the game being suspended for 38 minutes in the second half because of crowd trouble between the two sets of supporters. It seemed that some Wolves fans were celebrating in the home end, and some West Brom supporters then reacted to that. And then there were fights in two different parts of the ground and police were involved. Referee took both teams off the pitch. The particularly worrying thing about this was it happened quite near to the West Brom players' families as well. And I mean, Carl Bartley was seen with his two children, you know, one in his arms, walking away from it all. Yeah. You think, bloody hell. I think that really brings it home with these scenes, because one can sort of... Look, it's horrible to see anybody fighting, of course, but when you see these sort of fully grown men going at it, it's horrible. But then when you think, oh, hang on a minute, it's not just fully grown men at football.
Yeah.
And even if it was, it would be bad enough. And you kind of go, piss in Nora, lads. You know?
Yeah. I haven't seen, I might be wrong, but I haven't seen that kind of thing happen, such a high-profile game in this country, for, since I can remember, actually.
I mean, there may well be examples, but I know I what you mean. I can't think of any.
There's, you would think there'd be an obvious one that would come that comes to mind, and there just isn't, is there? And it's a shame, because we were talking last week about this being a derby that's perhaps underappreciated sort of outside of the area, and how there's a lot riding on it, and it's really, really sort of fiercely contested. And that has been hugely overshadowed. You know, that it should be a positive thing that you get these games that really, really matter that aren't sort of more widely known. But this just is, it just paints it in a really, really sad light now.
Yeah, we talked, didn't we, last week about how, you know, there was, when these teams have played each other, there's been situations where West Brom fans have had to be put in certain parts of the stadium to accommodate them and stuff. And then there's a joke, they left all these Tesco carrier bags on the seats because that's what Wolves fans call them. And and I think there's, the rivalry between football clubs, particularly local football clubs, is a really important part of the fabric of the game. Like, it's a really interesting, exciting, fun part of the game.
Part of what makes it matter, right?
Absolutely. And I think, but when you get into the, fall into the kind of doldrums of, you know, just grown men who've had too much to drink and probably a bit of toot, like fighting each other for absolutely no reason over a football match. It's just, it's a bit like, come on, lads, what are we doing with ourselves?
I think the older, there have always been unsavoury scenes, and it always makes me feel, you know, horrible when you see it. But I think even more so when you get older, you just think, what on earth are you playing?
Yeah, why do you want to involve yourself in a thing like that? Mm. I can't believe there were that many fans in the home end, to be honest. I can't think of anything worse than that. Mm. Like, just the constant edge.
But you don't know how, the thing is, you don't know how these things can spiral, though. I've been in stands plenty of times, but there's like little localised fights and things like that. I was in the Portsmouth end right by the Sunderland fans for the EFL Trophy final a number of years ago, and there were little pockets of things happening all the time. I think I might have said it on the show shortly afterwards. Yeah, it was actually quite a little bit frightening, because there were like, because it was a Portsmouth game up at Wembley, there was lots of different types of people there, and so you had like quite elderly couples and stuff being like thrown around and stuff. And it was like, it shouldn't be happening. So I think that stuff does happen a lot more than people think. We had a Millwall related thing at Wembley not that long ago as well, didn't we? Which the scenes were pretty ugly then. But for this to overflow to the point where the referee has to stop the game and take the players away, it's worrying. It's not ideal. But when you talk about the how many fans there were, Jim, I think it doesn't really take an awful lot in a confusing environment for a few to chuck their weight around, and it starts to escalate.
But that's what I mean in terms of, I can't understand the appeal of spending your afternoon sort of behind enemy lines like that. It's a particular type of personality that sort of wants to be among that sort of chaos.
You're
because
frightened.
Obviously you're hoping your team are going to win, and you're going to be set amongst the enemy.
You can sit in the opposite section. But if you just kind of watch the game, you can control yourself and all that kind of stuff, because you want to see the game of football. Whereas if you're there and you punch in the air and you're making it quite obvious to everybody.
We're probably not going to go too deep on this, because we don't actually know the detail at this point. And the game was finished, and that's how it goes. And I'm sure there'll be punishments dished out, and they should be appropriate punishments. But I think there's a certain amount of the English psyche around why young men who are full of aggression feel they need to kind of behave in this type of way. I think like young men in this society are infantilized and they have a lot of pressure on them and that kind of stuff. I'm not making excuses for it, but like, it does seem to be things that seems to be something that happens a lot all around the country, and it may not be reported because, you know, they're not televising a game between whoever. Like, you know, for example, Port Vale and Portsmouth, a fan on the pitch that game tried to chase the referee. This kind of stuff does happen all the time. I think it's shocking that it's happened live on TV to the point where a game's had to be stopped. And it really does, you know, it's a reflect. You know, football stadiums can be a reflection of society. And I think it's worrying for us, because it's a wake-up call, because we think, oh, the dark old days of the 80s are over, which of course they are, but there's still problems. There's, you know, access to cheap drugs, people, you know, getting as drunk as they can, even though the game kicks off in the morning. Yeah. You know, all these things play into it. I don't know what to do about it. I mean, it's probably a societal problem rather than just a football one.
We should mention the actual game itself, because the game of football did happen and it did conclude, and Wolves, as I say, went through 2-0.
Yeah, a little bit of extra quality, I think. West Brom weren't too bad.
Well, they started really strongly, didn't they?
But with Pedro Neto and old Matheus Cunha in there getting the goals. I mean, it's impressive. They're two quality players.
Impressive that Neto's hit the ground running after being out for a little while as well. He's a really, really good player. Mm.
Yeah. There was another little flashpoint on the pitch between Carl Bartley and one or two Wolves players. He kind of body checked someone. Don't think Craig Dawson was too happy about it.
He won't be.
Obviously, he's an ex West Brom player. Yeah. And there was a lovely moment. Quite a lovely moment when when Jose Sarr was looking. He obviously, Jose Sarr got to the Hawthorns and was looking around. He still had his training kit on, and he saw a picture in the tunnel of Craig Dawson, who's now his teammate, doing something for West Brom. As a legendary player. And he obviously had no idea that Craig Dawson played for West Brom. So he took his phone out and started taking a video of it. I was like really pleased with himself.
No.
It was quite sweet, really.
It is quite nice. And we're also having a decent season. They're 11th in the Premier League.
And it should be first, I think, as well, given the points that they've missed out.
Well, I mean, they could be higher if maybe decisions went their way. I mean, there's a lot of teams between 6th and 11th packed in there. There's only 6 points. Between them. So, you know, a win and a few results going their way, they could go up a few places. But in terms of the FA Cup itself, I mean, if you look at the draw, Wolves themselves have Brighton at home.
Well, that was an absolute stinker last time
around.
But we covered that one.
Yes, we did. Yes.
It's 0-0. It's fucking terrible.
They owe us.
Big time.
A good game. Now, they've got a tough draw there. But it's not ridiculous for either of those sides to think...
They'll both be like, okay, we'll take that.
Yeah.
And I think Marcus also sort of talking about...
We're going deep in the competition, I'm talking about.
Absolutely, no. And both teams, as you rightly say, will think they've got a chance. You know, talking about that game, which was 0-0 the last time they played in the league, Wolves, Brighton and Wolves, Tommy Doyle was sensational in that game, in that 0-0. He kind of ran the show for a young midfield player. And obviously, he's on loan from Manchester City. And he was excellent as well, I thought, against West Brom. And I was hearing on the radio over the weekend that he might be available for permanent transfer for something like $5 million.
Wow.
I mean, he looks like just one of those amazing, technically brilliant, positionally superb, out of the Man City Academy types.
Yeah.
And they should be snapping Man City's hand off if he's available, because I think he's only 22 now. As he plays more and more first team football, I think he could be a real asset for them. And he's been a key part of what they've done recently, in my view.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Coming up in the second half, we've got Newport County, a mammoth penalty shootout in the Africa Cup of Nations. And we are going to link Jose Mourinho to the Barcelona job. See you in a moment.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
City, 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 City.
Someone in the background just goes, crap!
Booing. Yeah. Booing and draw.
Yeah. Thanks to friend of the Ramble, Ethan, for choosing that clip. You become a friend of the Ramble too by heading over to patreon.com/footballramble. You'd be absolutely crazy not to, quite frankly.
That was basically United fans obviously finding out they'll play Sheffield Wednesday or Coventry rather than the Man City that they wanted. It's time for an update on the Football Ramble Acca with Betfair. Every weekend we're playing placing a £10 Acca on four match odds, 90 markets across the football, where any winning bets are paid out at 90 minutes, so you don't need to worry about any stoppage time drama ruining your bet. It wasn't easy this week because FA Cup, and you've got to try and pick a... Pick a bunch of winners, of course, and who knows what teams are going to be put out and all the rest of it. Marcus, you had Spurs to beat Man City. Now, you weren't successful there, and normally I would use that as a stick to beat you with, but it's a brave move.
Thanks.
I thought it was a brave move. Mm. It didn't come off, but they weren't too far away. Very late goal by Man City, obviously.
Finally scoring at Spurs.
Yeah, seeing that for them. Jim, you went Bristol City to beat Nottingham Forest. A friend of mine was at this game. Apparently, he said it was one of the worst games he's ever seen.
That's a shame.
And it was a 0-0 draw.
Yeah.
But you are the real victim here.
I think so.
Yeah,
so they've let me down there.
At least you've turned up today, because Andy picked Everton versus Luton Town and Luton won. And Andy's rushing out, Luton just can't win at Everton again. That they did.
Yeah, they won it with a broken hand as well.
Yeah, they did. Exactly. All of them had a broken hand. Every single one of them. And the final game, I picked Leicester to beat Birmingham. Leicester did win that game, but it's not much of a surprise, really. But so that's one out of four. So we'll go back in again on Friday for another run-up at it. Mm. Remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their match odds 90 markets, you will get your winning bet paid out in full at 90 minutes.
Newport County 2, Manchester United 4. They had them going.
They did.
Really did.
It's all going.
Oh, they really did.
That's all you can ask for, really, when they go 2-0 down to a Premier League side who looked utterly determined not to make a song and dance out of this.
Yeah.
But they got dragged back in by the magic of the camera.
My favourite bit about that was at 2-2, when everyone's thinking, surely this can't happen, presumably even the Man United players, they did absolutely get sucked into it. You had Rafael Varane just hoofing balls back into the mix. I'm just thinking, what are you doing?
When, so good.
When Anthony scored Man United's third, he like sank to his knees and started pointing to the sky.
Yeah.
And that's like the first goal he scored for about 16 months.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much it is.
31 games.
It's his first goal this season, I think. Pretty sure of that, yeah. 31 games, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
But I just thought, this is a bit like when Garnacho had been like shushing like lower league teams when he scores against them in the cup
exactly
as well.
Exactly that, yeah.
But the incredible part of it, as you guys just touched on, is that I was watching this game in the kitchen while I was cooking. And they score the goal seventh minute and the 13th minute. And you thought, okay, well, that's that.
Oh, so many people would have turned it off.
I was thinking about turning it off. And then
thousands would have done.
And then it was incredible the way they battled back. And I would say you have to give, I know it's only Newport County, and you know, but given the history that's gone with Newport County in these cup competitions, you get paid back 2-0. Let's be honest, it's fucking dark because the floodlights are shit.
It is a strange ground, isn't it? I always think that...
They need credit for coming back again, I think, reacting.
Yeah, totally, yeah. And it was a great hit from Morris. I mean, it takes a slight deflection, but still.
Oh, the commentator went way over the top, didn't he, before he realised?
Yeah.
That's the best goal you'll see anywhere, in any competition, at any level. And I think Danny Murphy goes, oh, I think it did cut deflection.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
When that goes in, because of course, when Manchester United go 2-0 up, you're expecting them to kind of go on now and win it comfortably. But of course, you know, at half time you think 2-1, okay. Yeah. Okay, we've got and then 2 minutes after, obviously Evans, who was brilliant up front.
But they flew out the blocks in the second half.
Yeah,
so clearly Graham Coughlin said to them, look, don't do in the second half what you did in the first half. Don't be intimidated. Don't give them too much respect. Go for it, because they are, I mean, United are soft-centred. I mean, Casemiro, for example, playing midfield, doesn't look like he's in the best shape, hasn't played a lot of football. United are a kind of team where the narrative takes over as soon as you let it. And he probably thought, if we can get out there and just scare them in the second half, they might start to retreat into themselves a bit, and then we've got a chance. And of course, they score a great goal, actually.
Yeah.
And then I think after that, to be fair to them, they just kind of run out of steam.
Yeah.
But it was, I said on Friday, I sniffed something here.
Yeah.
And I think there was enough there to sniff.
Well, definitely. I think you had a good old sniff. And I think
it wasn't like a 6-0 battering.
No. And my mate who I spoke about on Friday, who's the 1912 Exiles Newport County podcast, said this as well on the radio. Mm. And he was talking about this and said, I tell you, there's something about this. But he also, we spoke about sometimes when lower league teams play Premier League sides and we're like, mess the pitch up a bit. And so
yeah.
Well, apparently Newport County's pitch is very good.
Yeah.
But he was on the radio and Big Alan Brazil was talking about, you know, the forward Evans, who was a dairy farmer, working his family's dairy farm.
That was a few years ago, though, wasn't it?
Only 2 years ago.
Right, okay, yeah.
And he said, well, he might want to herd his cattle over the, over the pitch before
let them graze.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that'll sort it out. Yeah.
It was sort of the opposite.
Get Robbie Fowler on there. Cow it in the grass.
It was sort of the opposite to the Maidstone and Ipswich game, wasn't it? In that every time United went forward, you felt like they were going to score.
Yeah, it was much more open than that.
Yeah,
game.
Very much so.
Yeah, I think that's
you could see the quality, and ultimately, you know, they did have a little bit of a scare, but it was always there for them to just wrap it up. Although there were some enjoyably shit passes from Anthony, which I think we could all get behind.
I said to you guys, I mean, obviously he scored about 25 minutes from the end, but I honestly thought he looked shit.
Yeah,
like he looked shit, and it's like. It's incredible fall from grace, the amount of money he came for, which, you know, admittedly isn't his fault. But clearly there's an element of this where Ten Hag has said, particularly with the issue that happened with Rashford, which I'm sure we'll come on to. He said to Anthony, he's obviously said, this is the game for you, because in a big game, you know, a big Premier League game, Anthony doesn't start the game. He doesn't, I mean, when I don't think he started against in the Spurs game at home, which I was at. He's not a player that Ten Hag, despite essentially, you know, bombing Jadon Sancho out of the club and dropping 100 million euros on him, he doesn't seem to trust him at the moment. So he trusts him against Newport. And I honestly thought for the first 45, 50 minutes, he's just like, his attitude is disgusting. Like he seems offended by everything. He doesn't want to be tackled. He doesn't want to be booed. He doesn't want people to chant about him.
I mean, he's you know, we've heard and read all the stuff off the pitch, but which is going on with Anthony, and you know, there's a lot of dark clouds around Anthony at the moment. To, you know, to try.
And I just don't think.
But if you look at what he did at Ajax, I mean, you know, two league winners' medals in the sort of the two and a bit years he was there. He played big parts in both of them, chipping in with goals and a lot of performances. I mean, he has 16 caps for Brazil. He's still only 23. He's obviously a player, hence the high price tag and so on. I mean, okay, 100 million seems a bit over bloated and so on. Something's happened. Or some things have happened, and I know there's the obvious one that, you know, we won't talk about, although the Newport County fans certainly did. You know, and what is the solution here?
I get a feeling with Anthony, though, despite all that stuff, which I broadly agree with, he doesn't seem like the kind of character like, and I'm not saying he's as good as Cristiano Ronaldo, because he isn't, but with Cristiano Ronaldo, it was like the fans would get on his back and he'd get a lot of stick all the time. But there was also a feeling in the back of the fans' mind that this is going to make him better.
Yeah.
This is going to fuck us up. Mm. This is going to come back to haunt us. And you look at Anthony and he seems to be able to be got at by not just other players who are playing against him, but by fans. They seem to be able to get in his head really easily. And he is looking like he might not have much of a future at the club, which is incredible given that everyone, you know, there's so much of this happening at United.
Yeah, but at least he was there, Jim.
At least he was
Marcus
there.
Marcus Rashford wasn't there.
No, he was ill, but also recovering
matter.
At Carrington, which is a strange, strange system they've got in place.
Yeah.
I've got flu. Get down the flu room then.
Yeah, recovering. I mean, look.
He's having, I'll tell you what he's having. A massive grab bag of Walker's salt and vinegar and a Lucozade is what he's having.
Imagine footballers get those like IV drips you can get.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm
imagine
sure
they've got very, very, very good, Jim, let's be honest, hangover cures.
Yeah. Unrelated. Has anyone had a big one out in Belfast before?
Was it two nights in a row?
That's what the reports say.
Those are the rumours, aren't they?
That he was out in Belfast. I love that it's Belfast as well.
Yeah.
Normally it's like some place like Dubai, or if they're particularly quick and outlandish, it's like Vegas or something like that.
Belfast is close enough, certainly if you're a footballer that can charter a private jet or whatever, that you might think, oh, you know what, I can pull this off.
Yeah,
I can do this.
I mean, the Man United players
do this with no sleep.
Man United players flew to Cardiff from Manchester before the game on a 21-minute flight.
Well, there's Jim Ratcliffe.
I mean, that's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting.
So,
that's Jim Ratcliffe.
Did Rashford get on the wrong one? He went to Belfast instead.
Got diverted because of the storm. What is worth just pointing out very quickly is the sheer amount of issues and almost like, I mean, scandal's probably too strong a word, but controversy, I suppose, around individual players at Manchester United at the moment.
Chanso is another one.
I understand that that United is a club that has all that attention on it, but you know, there's been stuff being said about Onana, of course, Sancho, Rashford. Yeah, I mean, that's like quite a lot of players.
The problem is, if they do get some sort of harmony in the dressing room, Ratcliffe is going to think they're unionising and just crush that. They can't win.
They've already got a union. they've got a massive union already.
Yeah,
it's well, the easiest job in the world, right? That union. Yeah. Oh, it's really difficult because all of our members are on 15 million a year.
Yeah. Well, Newport manager Graham Coughlan is a big Manchester United fan, and he's enjoyed supporting them over the decades, it's fair to say. He certainly wasn't supporting them when they played his side, and he made sure that his family wasn't supporting them as well. He said, "Support me or I'm locking you out the house." He said, if the wife starts supporting them, then she's out. And I was like, all right,
it's a bit hard.
Do we know if they managed to sleep in the house? It's a complicated one.
I assume so. But did you see he was given a bottle of wine by Erik ten Hag after the match? And ten Hag was saying that Sir Alex Ferguson himself has handpicked this bottle.
No, he said, can you hold this for me? Because otherwise Rafa's going to get hold of it.
Oh, dear. Well, Ten Hag was obviously doing a nice thing, and he was saying, you know, again, you supported Manchester United since probably the 80s or maybe even before. You know, Sir Alex Ferguson's the main man. There you go. And what did he say? I don't drink wine, I drink Budweiser. He said, it's like, yeah. Oh, come on.
But Ten Hag gives him lifeline after lifeline.
Yes, he does.
Like, well, maybe your wife will like it, or maybe you'll like it. It's really nice. It's been handpicked.
No, absolutely not. Is Ten Hag this week? Is this why everyone runs over him in the club? No wonder they got disciplinary issues. He's trying to give someone a gift.
Trying to give someone a bottle of wine. No.
I love that Ten Hag's reply was, he looked at me and went, really?
Yeah.
American beer?
Yeah, he did, yeah. And then
have you tried the Grolsch?
The camera cut. But actually what happened after that was Graham Coughlin just poured the bottle of wine into a stew while staring at him really intently. Said, I'm cooking with this.
I thought you were going to say he torpedoed it.
That would have been good.
So poor old Ten Hag. But his side are through to the next round of the Cup. But it's been a good run for Newport County, and they gave a good account of themselves as well. And of course, with that takeover, with Hugh Jenkins, you know, the club have been struggling financially. Well, of course, a third round proper winner does get £105,000.
That's not bad, is it?
Which is more than the League Cup winner.
Yeah,
lest we forget. You know,
that'll do you, Anthony, for a week,
For a weekend. Do you know how much the FA Cup final winners get?
Go on,
£2 million.
Yeah,
compared to the £100,000 in the League Cup.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah,
but when's the last time a club that could? I mean, everyone obviously can do with £2 million, but when was the last time a club that would really benefit from that amount of money won the FA Cup?
Portsmouth.
Yeah, and what they do with it?
Well, we're yet to find out. Yeah. I love
Sol Campbell.
I love the fact that the first round proper winners get £41,000 in the FA Cup. Fulham will have made £25,000 from the League Cup this season.
Yeah, and they got to the semi.
Oh,
they got extra gate receipts from the game and all that kind of stuff, though.
Well, there's a chat there. Let us move on to Liverpool 5, Norwich City 2. Jurgen Klopp beat his best man, David Wagner, in his first game since Friday's announcement. And I'll tell you something, since Friday's announcement, it really has hit Liverpool fans hard. And you can understand why. A mate of mine who's a big Liverpool fan was like, I just didn't know what to do with myself.
Mm. Yeah, I guess most of them haven't experienced this this side of Liverpool, I suppose, as adults, right? Because they've obviously got this huge standing in the game. They've won an amazing amount of things. There's so much history there. And part of what makes Liverpool so united is, for want of a better term, is
unique.
Together.
But it is that history and that shared history, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But certainly when it comes to league titles, a lot of them have had to wait a very, very long time. Yeah. So this is the first time they've had this situation that happens at the end of any great legacy with a title to its name. So I imagine absolutely gutted.
The Wagner group will do you a solid.
Yeah, it's an underarm throw if ever there was one.
So what we'll do, we'll play a really high risk strategy for you at Anfield, and you'll probably notch up five. We'll get Nunez firing again, and Van Dijk can come on to a standing ovation.
Marshall Ashley Barnes,
and score an unmarked header just after he's come on
from practically outside the box as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Great.
It was miles out.
But can our gaffer get a picture with Jurgen Klopp hugging him at the end?
No problem. David Wagner's turned into a bit of a silver fox as well, hasn't he?
He has. It suits him.
It does.
Yeah, he looks great.
No, I like it. Very sexy.
I also particularly enjoyed, while we're being cynical, I also particularly enjoyed Jurgen Klopp's quote. He was asked after the game about the reception he received and stuff, and he said something that at the time I thought was very sweet, where he said, we don't want to be worrying about the old fella knocking about on the sideline. It's not about me. Yeah. And then I read about 10 minutes later that he's agreed that a TV documentary crew could follow him around for his last few months in charge. Which is it, Jurgen?
Yeah.
You either want the attention or you don't.
Well, that will be released after he's left, though.
Yeah. Oh, but it's still
they're not live streaming.
It's not about me. Unless you've got a documentary crew, then we'll talk about it.
Well, to be fair, he has vetoed Fly on the Wall documentaries before.
Because of Brendan Rodgers.
He kind of ruined that. Jürgen Klopp needs to get a big portrait of himself quickly up on the wall before that happens.
Above the mantelpiece, yeah.
I think the danger now for... maybe it's a little silly to say that Norwich have found themselves a victim of this because they were probably always going to get battered. But I think the danger for other teams is to get sucked into the sort of like victory lap idea.
It was like the Steven Gerrard farewell tour. Absolutely, remember that? Yeah. That was similar, wasn't it? Yeah. Oh, this is the last time. You'd be watching BT Sport or whatever, and they'd open the thing with, oh, well, this is the last time Steven Gerrard's going to play at the Hawthorns.
Yeah. Who cares?
No one cares. Well, Great player, but no one cares.
You've got to make sure that you don't get sucked into that and that you don't give them too much respect because of it. Because, you know, they're a brilliant team anyway. You can't give them any sort of extra edge, and this might do that.
Spoil the party.
Indeed.
Yeah. But it could be there. It could be a ploy. It could be like we're gonna sweep the board with it. We're gonna tap into the emotion, and then we're gonna change our mind in the summer.
That would be quite something.
It would be.
I think we'd look at the
Wolf of Wall Street gif.
But it was a really, really comprehensive performance by Liverpool. I know that Norwich kind of got a couple of goals themselves, but realistically, I mean, they played, as I said at the top of this, such a high risk strategy. And I understand you get caught between two stools because you're not going to completely rip up your philosophy and your style of play just because you don't want to get battered at Anfield because the players need to be in that kind of mode. But at the same time, you don't have to take every single risk. It's not so, the tactical systems don't have to be so rigid that you can't do anything other than just take loads of risks all the time. Yeah. And they just kept doing that, particularly early on. And I thought it was going to be an even longer day than it ended up being in the end. 5-2 doesn't look terrible, does it? Given that, you know, Norwich have been on the end of some real batterings by Liverpool over the years. So it was just, I just thought it was a bit of a shame.
Mm. A little word on James McConnell in the centre of the pitch. Another one Liverpool have got.
Lovely assist.
Yeah.
I'd say he looks great. They've got some really good young players coming through, actually, which is a real comfort to people who are going to be gutted that Klopp's leaving, because he seems to, it's not just him, it's the kid Bradley as well. Kwanzaa's getting a lot of time.
You can even chuck in Curtis Jones. I know he's been there for a little bit.
He's really hitting the straps now, isn't he? Yeah,
it's a real boon, isn't it? It seems really sudden. Kwanzaa's obviously been playing for a bit longer, but you know, these kids are news to me. but they look really, really accomplished already.
Yeah.
Bradley in particular, especially with, you know, Trent Alexander-Arnold looking like he might play in midfield more regularly, looks like someone who can genuinely step in and be ready pretty much now, which is so impressive.
And this is the thing, that Klopp will leave that squad in a very, very good place for whoever comes in next.
It's interesting. There's been a little bit, some cynical takes on it that are saying that obviously Mo Salah is going to be very, very difficult to replace. Alisson's getting on, et cetera. But I think that's a little bit wide of the mark.
I think Alisson's got 5 years, isn't he? He's only 31. He's a goalkeeper.
Yeah, but also as well, that Klopp is playing Kelleher in games. Now, if he's the man to take over from Alisson or not, you know, Liverpool do have a few quid.
It might not be Man City
kind of money, but they've spent big, as all the big sides do. So again, he's leaving that. He will leave that squad in a very healthy place, which is not always the case.
Van Dijk could be another one that
as Jonathan Wilson put in his was talking about in his piece in The Guardian, he leaves them when they should be on the up. Well, they are on the up. I mean, whether they'll win the trophies or not, they're on the up. Whereas you can't say the same about Ferguson, really.
No.
I don't want to be too harsh on Ferguson there, but they weren't on the up. And Wenger's another one as well. So, you know.
But Klopp hasn't done the same job at Liverpool that Ferguson did at United.
No. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about leaving squads in healthy places and so on, which is what he's done.
That article that you're talking about, Jonathan Wilson's article in The Guardian, used a picture of Jurgen Klopp where he was sort of leaning down over a football. And it looks like when you see a picture of someone meeting a quokka on holiday in Australia. He's got so much joy on his face, and he's literally just looking at a football.
He loves it.
It's beautiful.
That's the secret.
He was pleased to see Andy Robertson back.
He was. Yeah. Well, everyone was.
I think, he's been injured for a while, of course.
Yeah.
Out since October.
3 months, I think. Yeah.
And there was another 5-2 drubbing in the FA Cup fourth round, as we mentioned earlier. Brighton beat Sheffield United 5-2 at Bramall Lane. Joao Pedro, bagged a hat-trick to take him to 18 goals this season, just one behind Erling Haaland.
It's incredible.
Erling Haaland has, again, that shows how good he's been, because he's been injured for flipping ages.
Yeah.
But he scored more penalties than any other player from Europe's top five leagues in all competitions this season.
10.
He's got 10 penalties.
Yeah, 10 penalties.
That's a real testament to how Brighton play and how much presence they have in the other team's penalty area, isn't it? That was a great result for Brighton. Obviously, it was good to see old that guy Welbs get on the score sheet later.
From a outrageous angle, really, as well.
Well, they're in the hat, of course, and they'll be playing Wolves, which I think is probably the tie of the round. I mean, Luton Man City is obviously an all-Premier League affair. You never know what Robbie Edwards could come up with, of course. But looking around, you know, if you are, you know, Liverpool, even Newcastle United, the winner of Chelsea versus Aston Villa, you know, they are playing sides who are in a division below them in the next round. Well, there will be Premier League scouts because there's a couple of games, a couple of teams playing each other. Really, you'd fancy it, wouldn't you?
If
Manchester City are the ones there, they're still in the cup. You know, a lot of these teams, all of these teams would have wanted Spurs to do everybody a favour. They couldn't quite do that. But it's, I think this, I get the impression it's a little bit more open.
My thoughts on the draw are kind of as follows. I think if Wrexham can get past Blackburn tonight, which is a big if, but if they can, them against Newcastle at home's a really interesting one.
That'd be fun.
I'm absolutely delighted that even if Southampton get past Watford, they're going to Anfield. Because we need to not have Southampton winning trophies. That's because Pompey aren't going to do it anytime soon, so we need to be on top of that.
Southampton aren't going to win the FA Cup, I think it's fair to say.
Certainly not now, they're not.
No.
I think other than that, I think, yeah. I mean, to be honest, though, the two all-Premier League ties you've mentioned there, Luton, Man City and Wolves against Brighton, they are, as Premier League ties go, they are quite boring.
Okay.
That's what I think.
All right,
that's
my take. Well, let's move on then. Yeah. Let's go abroad, shall we?
Oh, we could have Forest versus United at the City Ground, by the way, which would also be good.
Let's wait for that. Let's wait to see what Bristol City say about that.
Yeah, they might have some opinions on that.
We're going to Spain. Xavi has announced that he will leave Barcelona at the end of the season. Not quite as an emotional announcement as Jurgen Klopp, but still, Xavi is Mr. Barcelona, lest we forget. So it's still quite something.
Yeah.
This was, of course, just a week after Jose Mourinho appeared at Barcelona Airport.
He knows what he's doing there. Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
I love the way he said he appeared. Like, no record of him flying in here.
It's a difficult one.
He's suddenly here.
It's a difficult one for you, Jim.
Another flight log lost, eh, Jim?
Would you rather Mourinho went to Barcelona or Arteta? Don't answer now.
I had to understand that before formulating an answer.
Think about it, mate. There's no way he can he? There's no way.
Well, no, that's surely just throwing everything at the wall, isn't it?
But the thing is, the thing about Mourinho is, and I'm not saying he's, I'm linking it, I'm not saying he will. We have to remember that he has spent time there. He cut his teeth.
He coached there
a long time ago.
He used it as a villain origin story, but he did start his career there as a manager. As a kind of coach kind of thing.
Yeah, also, has there ever been a better time to bring it down from the inside?
Yeah. It's already been done, though. Just stamp it on the throat, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, there's no money to spend there.
Well, this is it.
But he'll still spend it.
It's interesting, the contrast between Klopp and Xavi's announcements, where Klopp talks about running out of energy and Xavi is demonstrably the most tired man you've ever seen in your life. Just broken by the
job.
I mean, to be fair to Xavi, you know, he did say this about his mental health, you know, like,
oh, of course.
He basically needs to move. He said, I've given everything I have. The club needs a change of dynamic. That's where Mourinho sort of pops up. No, not that type of dynamic. So, one has to feel a little bit sorry because it would have been incredible for the club and for Xavi for that to have worked out. But as you say, Barcelona is such a mess. I mean, Villarreal beat them 5-3 on Saturday. Nice to see Eric Bailly, though.
Oh, he was amazing. Involved. Headbutted someone and then he scored an own goal.
Yeah.
It's great stuff.
Glorious stuff.
Yeah. Man United DNA.
You can still find him. Is that what it is these days? Yeah. My goodness, that's the legacy. All right, let's talk about the Africa Cup of Nations. The DR Congo beat Egypt on penalties. And that man, of course, in net for DR Congo, Mpassi, got the winning penalty. It was a mammoth shootout after a 1-1 draw. Egypt down to 10 men. And Egypt, when they went down to 10 men in extra time, obviously you can understand from their point of view, it's kind of like, let's play for penalties. And I did think to myself, I understand that, but this is a routine that worked for you last time, well, up until the final, and please win.
Egypt had basically been shithouses for ages. Right?
Yeah, and that's why I really wanted DR Congo to win, because I was like, come on.
Seven years at medical school. You know, you've got to start getting the benefit of that.
Dr. Congo, absolutely, yeah. Come on, we've got to please put this to bed.
Yeah.
And then what I found interesting, though, so as Egypt have a man sent off, the DR Congo then have to remove one of their outfield players as a penalty taker.
Which is weird.
Taker.
That's a weird law in my view.
I think it's a stupid law.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're essentially being punished for another team's mistake there,
yeah,
right?
I think that they just like to keep it, if it goes all the way back round, you know who's coming and the, you know.
But I think also that you might get, I suppose you might get into a situation where one player from one team has to take two penalties. and the other team, because they're short of a player. Mm. But overall, I think that...
But again, they've had the sending off, as Jim says. Yeah, but what was interesting, though, is that they only missed one each, which were bad penalties, but they happened in the same kind of phase.
Yeah, one went about 3 feet wide and one went about 4 yards over.
Yeah, and so they get to it where it's seven each in the penalty shootouts. Well, of course, you've then had eight takers from each side. So you have an outfield player and a goalkeeper left to take. Mm. Well, Gabaski steps up, the Egyptian goalkeeper, and he thinks, all right, I'll have this. And he hits the bar. Now, he's stepped up where an Egyptian outfield player didn't step up. Now, for whatever reason, I don't know. But then DR Congo respond by getting Mpasse to go up. Now, I don't know. I wonder if they thought, oh, if you're going to play the goalkeeper, can't we're going to bloody do it as well. Or if indeed they thought, no, our goalkeeper is clearly the ninth best taker, rather than this chap here who's crapping himself.
We've had Pickers doing it.
Yeah, I know, but that was clearly... You know, Pickers was about the fifth one of England.
Yeah.
This is what I mean. Like I said...
What do you want to happen?
Well, I just find it interesting. There's no way that squad knows who is the ninth and tenth best taker. Yeah. I think they've clearly seen the goalkeeper go up, and whether they've thought, oh, we must play it, or, no, sod you, we're going to do it. Because Mpasse steps up there, there's a little wry smile on his face before he takes it, and then he coolly slots into the corner.
It was one of those little smiles where you think the camera's going to stop when he goes, yeah, that's me.
Yeah,
I bet you're wondering how I got in this position. But obviously, he dispatches pretty well.
It was fantastic. So, the game wasn't great, but at least we got a great penalty shootout after it.
Great to see Arthur Masuaku involved as well, by the way. Ex-West Ham.
Yeah.
Now playing for, I presume, in Turkey. I'm pretty sure he's playing in Turkey.
It's always a safe bet. Nigeria in the quarterfinals beat Cameroon 2-0. Andre Onana's tournament finishes, having played one match and registering no saves.
I expected to see him yesterday, actually, in the FA Cup. Just get that flight home.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's
show that enthusiasm.
I mean, it is remarkable, that stat, though. No saves.
Yeah, I mean, he played one game, they lost it, of course, and now they're out. But Nigeria, though, former Fulham man Ademola Lookman scored both. I mean, he really gave the keeper a chance to save it with both strikes.
Yeah.
The first one, it went in, and that's
the one
that
where they all ended up in the net,
basically.
Current
Fulham man Calvin Bassey, though, setting up the second.
Yeah,
Alex Iwobi pulling the strings.
Yeah, Alex Iwobi playing central midfield.
Yeah, he often does for Fulham, though, sometimes. He can play out wide, but if he has two sitting behind him, he's...
Right, that's a kind of playmaker-type role. In this game, looked like he was playing like a straight midfield role.
Yeah, it's more industry, though, I would say, than creative stuff in there. But
that's damning with faint praise.
Well, no, but I mean, you could say the same about Pereira. That's the job he does for Fulham, and it's a good job. But please, I beg of you, get Everton's Iwobi out of your head.
I will.
Because that Iwobi's gone. We've got Fulham and Nigeria Iwobi
now. It's a gentle de-radicalisation process. it's like leaving the Church of Scientology.
Right,
it takes a while.
It's just like that. Did you see that regular Guinea beat Equatorial Guinea 1-0?
It did.
Guinea
and,
derby.
Yeah, 98th minute winner.
Yeah, it was an incredible scene.
Yeah.
He scores the win in the 98th minute. And then, for those of you who haven't seen the goal... and the celebrations afterwards, he's just gone. He just goes, and everyone comes, and the camera's on him, and he's into the distance. Everyone's just off.
It
was incredible.
Yeah, it was class. That's exactly what you want. Like, get involved. Wherever you are, get involved.
Are we going to have a surprise winner? We're going to have one of Dr. Congo, the good doctor, and regular Guinea in the semi. One of those going through the semi-final. Angola against Nigeria in the other quarter final at the top of the draw seems like it might be easy enough for Nigeria. And then we've still got the other quarterfinals to be decided. Uh-huh. But we've got Cape Verde versus Mauritania in one of the round 16 games.
Yep, yep. I mean, you've still got some big hitters in there, obviously.
Senegal,
Nigeria,
Ivory Coast, Nigeria.
Morocco would. I think Morocco will fancy this. They'll look at that and think, you know.
Because of their performance in the last tournament.
I don't know too much about South Africa, but Morocco would be favourites for that. They'd be favourites against Bebe and Cape Verde and Mauritania. And then, you know, you're kind of looking ahead. You're mapping it, aren't you?
Yeah.
Senegal, I mean, Ivory Coast, you know, I understand they've got the home advantage.
They're lucky to be here.
But they are.
Yeah.
And they've not got Harvé Renard. That's not happening, sadly, for us.
Well, he's sort of everywhere, though, isn't he? He's hovering over the whole tournament, really.
Yeah. I mean,
he's been seen.
Yeah, he's very much. But do you think he wanted to be seen, Jim? Because the last time we saw him, he was stood up fully in the stands wearing a very tight
camouflage t-shirt.
Leopard skin shirt.
Right. Yeah. I think if you're Harvé Renard, you were born to be seen, weren't you?
Jim, we want to see him.
Yeah.
So he's only given us what we want. So I think it's an interesting one. I think you would expect DR Congo to beat Guinea. But if, look, we're trying to map it out. It doesn't work out like this, everybody.
No.
It does not.
We shall see. A lot of football to be played.
Yeah. Come from the Ford tweeted us, highlight of the weekend is not the player getting sent off in the Guinea versus Equatorial Guinea game, but as the ref is sending him off and the injured player is being looked at, a member of the Guinea team is just doing kick-ups in the background. It's brilliant. You can't see this. It's quite a lovely
piece because, and the reason that's funny is because the other, his teammate got kicked in the chest quite hard and he's on the deck. And he's not, but he's not bothered.
It was a definite red.
It's also, it was.
The player pleading his innocence. Yeah. It's just like, come on.
It's funny once you know the result as well, isn't it?
It is. But I wanted the ref to come to just grab him and go, "Are you right? Come here. Let's watch it together."
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Now you tell me what you've done wrong there.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, I see what you mean.
Yeah, you got 60 seconds from my whistle to make your representations as to what you've done there.
Convince me.
And on the way off, don't forget to grab your studs at the guy's chest, will you? Get them back on your way out.
Oh, dearie me. Yeah, it's been a great tournament, Africa Cup of Nations. Much more open than last time around, so we are enjoying it. Anyway, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Myself, Pete, Jim and Andy are back on Wednesday for another episode of this thing we call the Football Ramble. Do follow us on Twitter, as some people call X, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app.
Worth pointing out, there's a full Premier League stint this week as well. So lots of reasons to listen on Wednesday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Off the back of such amazing, illustrious fixtures like Crystal Palace versus Sheffield United and Fulham versus Everton.
Better.
There we go.
There we are. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Cheers.
Thank you, Jim Cahill.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. See you on Wednesday.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real Championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a Pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are Pretendians teaching at universities, Pretendians running governments, Pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.